بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. Today, this is our 29th session, reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Medina Book 3, yani the first half of Medina Book 3, first 17 lessons, Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And today, inshallah, we're going to be taking a new lesson, lesson number 13, which begins on page 104. But before that, we're going to take a look first at the English key on page 52, beginning on page 52. 6 points from the English key, 52, 53, and 54. Then we're going to read the Arabic text on page 104. 105, and then we're going to read and translate and check the answers to your answers to the comprehension questions related to the dialogue, the text at the beginning of the lesson, questions 1 through 3 on page 106. And then we're going to read the Arabic explanation of Lam al-Amr, the Arabic explanation of the first matter that we deal with in this lesson. There are six matters. The first of them is Lam al-Amr, and the second one is La Nahiya, used with the third person, and the third of them is Al-Jazmu bit-Talab. The fourth of them is An-Nudba. The fifth of them are the four particles of Jazm, yani Jawazm Al-Mudari. And the sixth matter is the verbal noun, yani Ism Fi'l Mudari, which has the meaning of I feel pain. So these are six matters. The first of them, we're going to read all of them in the English key, but the first of them we're going to cover the Arabic explanation after reading the Arabic text. We're going to read the explanation of that, and we're going to do the first few exercises related to Lam al-Amr. So there are actually 1, 2, 3, 4 exercises specifically related to Lam al-Amr. We're going to try to do the exercises today after we read the English key and the Arabic text. So let's start with the Arabic text, beginning on page 52. And again, there are 6 points in this lesson. A number of them are actually critical points, very, very important. They're not secondary, subsidiary points. They're really important points that we need to understand. Well, hopefully everybody had a chance during the week to read over them for homework. And hopefully most of it is understood. And whatever is not understood, hopefully today, inshallah, as we go through the explanation of the English key, and later on, yani the Arabic explanation of the first of those points, hopefully, yani whatever wasn't clear, if there was anything not clear, inshallah, hopefully will become clear. Before I actually begin to read from the English key, I just want to mention, and I've mentioned it in the past, yani the importance of preparing for the lesson by doing the daily assignments for the week before we have the live session. It is extremely important that we read through the English key carefully, study it, and try to understand as much as we can on our own. Whatever is not understood, hopefully, when we read through it together in our live session, hopefully some of those things which might not have been crystal clear will become clear, especially with the examples. And then when we read the Arabic dialogue at the beginning of the lesson, and we see those things being used in context, and then that will be followed by exercises where we practice using those things. So hopefully, by reading the English key before the lesson and familiarizing yourself with its content, and then reading it together during the live session, seeing the use of those things in an actual text, yani the dialogue at the beginning of the lesson, and then doing exercises with them, hopefully will make these things that we are learning clear to us. So this is a combination of preparing for the lesson by pre-reading the English key, and then attending, listening to the explanation of the lesson, together reading the dialogues at the beginning of each lesson, and then doing all of the exercises, memorizing new words, carefully trying to comprehend new grammatical points, and reading them, yani reading the dialogues more than once. Yani the more you read the dialogue, the better will become your reading skills, your reading comprehension, and your retention of the grammar and grammatical, grammar points and the vocabulary words. So please, the assignments that we have during the week, it is better that you do them daily if possible, so that you don't try to do everything in one sitting for 2 or 3 hours trying to go through all these exercises, as opposed to doing a little bit every day. 15, 20 minutes, half an hour every day is going to be more effective for most people in retaining what you have read and comprehending it than trying to read it all, yani, on a Saturday before the live session. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant success to each of us in learning this Arabic language for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to read his book, Al-Quran, and to study the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the religious texts of the ulama, the scholars of Ahl sunnah. Right, let's begin with the English key. On page 52, lesson 13. In this lesson we learn the following, the first of 6 points. Number one, Lamu al-Amri. You have learnt the Amr in book 2. For example, Uktub, write. This form of the Amr is used to command or request the second person. Yani, it's used to give a command to somebody you're speaking directly to, either an individual or a group of people that you're speaking directly to. To command or request the third person, yani, when you're speaking about a third party, not directly to them, the form liyaktub is used. Liyaktub, yani, the third person form of the verb yaktubu is used with the lam al-amra. Li with kasra. Liyaktub. It makes the mudari verb majzum. So yaktubu became liyaktub. Okay, what we learned previously, the command form, the fi'l amr that we learned previously, is when you're talking directly to somebody, uktub. Now we are learning how to give a command or a request to a third person that we're speaking about, not directly to. To command or request a third person, the form liyaktub is used. It means let him write, or he should write, or he must write. For example, liyaktub كل طالب اسمه في هذه الورقة. يعني let every student write his name on this paper. لي يكتب. Here we have the مضارع verb يكتب. يعني which is for third person. هو يكتب. يعني هو here in the verb here is represented as the فاعل in the expression كل طالب. Kullu talibin, each student, he must write. Kullu talibin, yani liyaktub, kullu talibin, meaning let every student write ismahu, his name, fi hadhihi alwaraqati, in this paper, on this paper. Okay, liyaktub. The next example they gave us, litajlis kullu talibatin fi makaniha, let every female student sit in her place. لتجلس, yani here. Because تجلس is used for أنت, and it's also used for here. So here it is, what is intended is third person feminine singular, here. Yani here تجلس. So when you use لام الأمر, it changes the مضارع verb from being مرفوع with ضمة to مجزوم with سكون. لتجلس. Let her. Here. Who? كل طالبة. Every student. Let her sit في مكانها, in her place. يعني ليكتب, let him. Him who? يعني who are we talking about him? يعني كل طالب. لتجلس, let her here. What do we mean by her here? كل طالبة. ليكتب, let him. لتكتب, let her. Yani every student, male student, every female student, and so on. This form is also used with the first person plural. For example, لنأكل. Yani نأكل, نحن نأكل. We eat. لنأكل, let us eat. Let us eat. So this form, لام الأمر, is used with the third person, and it's also used with the first person. And in both cases, it makes the mudari verb majzoom. So in the forms of the mudari verb that end with dhamma, it changes to sukoon. And those forms that end with the extra noon, it changes to hadhf and noon. And in the second and third person feminine plural forms, they are mabniun, so they remain unchanged. Okay, then it says, yani after this form is also used with the first person plural, for example, لِنَأْكُلْ, let us eat. The lamb used in this form is called lamb al-amr. The lamb used in this form is called lamb al-amr. It is used with the mubari, majzoom. So the first thing we want to note here, very importantly, is that this lamb is called lamb al-amr. It's used with the mudari form to make it majzoom. So we need to know it's used with the mudari, and we also know that it makes the mudari verb majzoom, and that it's lam al-amr because what? It's a manner of giving a command, al-amr, or a request. So lam al-amr, its benefit is that it is a command. It's used with the mudari. It makes the mudari majzoom, and it's used with the third person, and it's used with the first person. The last point that we want to note concerning this, 5 points, yani that lam al-amr, it is a command or request. Second point is that it's used with the mudari verb. Third point, it makes the mudari verb majzoom. The fourth point, it's used with the third person, or it's used with the first person. And the last point at the bottom of page 52 is the lam al-amr has kasra. Yani li yaktub, li tajlis. It has a kasra, but it takes sukoon after waw, fa, and thumma. Yani originally lam al-amra has kasra, but if it's following the particle waw, or fa, or thumma, then instead of taking kasra, the lam takes sukoon. Let's see an example of that here. On the next page, top of the page, لِيَجْلِسْ كُلُّ طَالِبٍ وَلْيَكْتُبْ. Wa here, the wow, after the wow, the lam al-amra, instead of taking kasra, takes sukoon. وَلْيَكْتُبْ. لِيَجْلِسْ, let him sit. Who? كُلُّ طَالِبٍ, let every student sit. وَلْيَكْتُبْ, and write, yani, and let him write. Yani who? Kullu talibin. Liyajlis huwa. Wal yaktub huwa. Let him sit and let him write. Note that the first lam al-amr has kasra, li yajlis, and the second lam al-amr has sukoon, wal yaktub. Another example, after fa, fal nakhruj. So let us go out. Fal nakhruj. And here we see the lam al-amr has sukoon because it's following fa. Fal nakhruj. And the last example is with thumma. Linaqra qaleelan. Thummal nanam. Let us read for some time. Qaleelan, a little. Let us read a little. Thummal nanam. Then let us sleep. Let us read for some time. Let us read a little and then sleep. So here we see لِنَقْرَ, yani let us read. نَحْنُ. ثُمَّ الْنَنَمْ, then let us sleep. The first lam al-amra, لِنَقْرَ, has kasra. The second lam al-amra, ثُمَّ الْنَنَمْ, has sukoon, because it's following ثُمَّ. So the original rule is that lam al-amr has kasra, but when it's following waw, or fa, or thumma, then the lam takes sukoon. Alright, so this is the first point, a very, very important point, and we're going to discuss this in Arabic, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, if Allah allows us to reach that point. We're going to just discuss it, its meaning in Arabic. Again, there are 5 points that you need to know concerning lam al-amr. Yani lam al-amr is a command or a request. Okay? Second thing, it's used with the mudari verb. Third thing, it makes the mudari verb majzum. The fourth thing, it's used with the third person and first person forms of the mudari verb, not with the second person. For second person, we say uktub, ijlis, and so on. And the last point is that originally the lam al-amra has kasra, but when it's followed by the particle waw or fa or thumma, then it changes from kasra to sukoon. Okay, let's go to the next point, point number two. We have learned la nahiyatu fi in book 2, lesson 15. Yani in book 2 we had la and nahiyah, the la of prohibition. Here's an example. La tajlis huna, don't sit here. There, yani in book 2, lesson 15, we have learnt the use of la and nahiyah with the second person only, yani talking directly to somebody. The same way we use the command form with the second person previously. And in this lesson, we see that a command form can be used with the third person or the first person. So in book 2, we learned the la and nahiya, the prohibitive la, only with the second person. Now we learn its use with the third person. Yani, commanding somebody not to do something, prohibiting somebody, not speaking directly to them, but speaking about a third person. We're going to see how we prohibit somebody from doing something, yani, when we're speaking to in the third person. For example, لا يخرج أحد من الفصل. Let no one leave the class, or no one should leave the class. يعني لا يخرج أحد. And this is prohibiting anyone, أحد. No one should go out of the classroom. لا يخرج. Here, because it's لا and ناهية, it makes the مضارع verb مجزوم. Just as when we used it with the second person, لا تجلس, لا تأكل, لا تدرس. Yani, the same way when we use it with the second person, it makes the mudari verb majzum. Likewise, using it with the third person form of the mudari verb also makes it majzum. لا يخرج أحد, no one must go out. لا يخرج, meaning third person, هو. Who do we mean by huwa? Ahadun. Anyone. No one must go out of the classroom. Note the difference between these two sentences. Here they're going to note, they want to note the difference between la and nahiya. This la and nahiya that we're talking about now. And la and nafiya. The la of negation. La of prohibition and la of negation. We're going to note the difference between them and how they affect the mudari verb. And how we will know if it's la nahiya or la nafiya is the way it affects the mudari verb. Note that as we learned previously in book 2, lesson 15, the la nahiya makes the mudari verb majzum. La nafiya does not make the mudari verb majzum. So we're just being reminded of that, yani, because now we're going to be using the la and nahiya with not only with the second person but also with the third person. We want to note the difference between these two las. Okay, note the difference between the two sentences. La تدخل سيارة الأجرة الجامعة. لا تدخل سيارة الأجرة. سيارة الأجرة, يعني سيارة is feminine, right? So it's هي تدخل. لا تدخل سيارة الأجرة الجامعة. A taxi does not enter the university. يعني this is لا of negation, لا نافية. Doesn't change the mudari verb. It remains marfu'un with them. Yani this doesn't happen. A taxi does not enter the university. La tadkhulu. The second sentence, la tadkhul, with sukoon, sayaratul ujrati al-jamiyata. Same exact sentence, except here, yani the mudari verb is changed from being marfu'un with dhamma to being majzoom with sukoon, telling us that this la is la and nahiya. Not la nafiya. Nafi, here is la nahiya, nahi, prohibition. La tadkhul sayaratul ujrati al-jamiyata. A taxi should not or must not enter the university. In the previous one, it doesn't happen. A taxi doesn't enter the university. In this one, it is a prohibition. Taxis must not enter the university. La tadkhul sayara al-ujra. The car of any hire, any taxi. Does not enter, must not enter the university. The la in the first sentence يعني لا تدخلوا is لا نافية, and in the second sentence لا تدخل مجزوم وتسكون is لا ناهية. The first one is لا نافية, نفي, negation. Taxis don't enter the university. That doesn't happen. The second one is لا ناهية, prohibiting. Person is prohibiting taxis from entering the university. They must not enter the university. The verb after لا نافية is مرفوع with ضمة, and the verb after لا ناهية is مجزوم, in this case with سكون. Okay, so the main point here is that لا ناهية, we learned previously that not only can be used when you're talking directly to somebody, don't do this, it can also be used to refer to a third person. They must not do it. They must not sit here. No one must sit here. No one must leave the classroom. No one must eat before Maghrib in Ramadan, unless they have a shara'i excuse. Alright? So, لا ناهية can be used with a third person, to refer to a third person, but it functions the same way. It makes the mudari verb مجزوم, either changing dhamma to sukoon or removing the presence of the noon, or those which are mabniun remain unchanged. Third point, الجزم بالطلبي. الجزم, making something مجزوم بالطلبي, due to a طلب. A mudari preceded by an amra or a nahi is majzoom. There's a footnote here, it says, and nahi is the negative of amra. For example, la tajlis huna, don't sit here. So what they're saying is that and nahi is the negative of the amra, the command. Yani it's a negative command, that's all that we're saying here. And nahi means a negative command, a command not to do something. Do not do it. So, again, الجزم بالطلب, المضاري preceded by أمر أو نهي. Both of them are طلب. يعني the command, the أمر is commanding somebody to do something, and the نهي is commanding somebody not to do something. So both of them are a command. Or in this expression, the word that's used for both of them is the طلب. Requesting, commanding, demanding that somebody do something, الأمر, or don't do something, النهي. So it's a طلب. So the verb becomes majzoom because of the talab, because of a command to do something or a command not to do something, amr or nahi. In both cases, the mudari that is preceded by a talab, by a command or a prohibition, that mudari verb becomes majzoom. If it's preceded by a command to do something or a prohibition from doing something, it becomes مجزوم. For example, اقرأه, read it مرة أخرى, again تفهمه, you will understand it. Read it again and you will understand it. اقرأ is a command to do something. So because تفهمه is preceded by a command to do something, a طلب to do something, for that reason it became مجزوم. Second example, لا تكسل تنجح, don't be lazy and you will pass. يعني تنجح, this mudari verb, because it's preceded by a طلب, in this case a command not to do something, a prohibition, لا تكسل, do not be lazy and you will pass. So this is called الجزم بالطلبي, that is the mudari verb being مجزوم because of amr or nahi, because of a talab, a command to do something, a amr, or a command not to do something, a nahi. The word talab means demand or request. To talab, yani yatlubu, to request something or to demand something, and is used to include, the talab includes both the amr, the command to do something, and it includes the nahi, the command not to do something. Both of them, because both of them signify a demand or a request. Yani the command to do something, the command not to do something, both of them signify a demand or a request. So both of them are referred to by a talab. So al-jazmu bi-talab means that the mudari verb became majzoom because of a talab, because of an amra or because of a nahi. Okay, this is called al-jazmu bi-talab. On the next page we see, it says, the mudari majzum that comes after the amr or the nahi is called jawabu al-talab. Yani the mudari verb that became majzum because of the talab is called jawab al-talab. So the first verb, the command or the prohibition, iqra or la taksal, that verb is the talab. And the second verb that became majzum is the jawab of the talab, the answer to it. Yani what happens as a result of the person fulfilling that command or avoiding that prohibition? Then what happens as a result is called the jawab al-talab. And the jawab al-talab is the mudari verb that became majzum because of the talab. And all of this is called al-jazmu bi-talab, yani a mudari verb becoming majzum because of a talab, because of a prohibition or because of a command. The answer, what happens if you fulfill that command or avoid that prohibition, is called jawab al-talab. Okay, so this is the end of this discussion. Not a lot of discussion concerning it, but it is an important matter that there is another thing that makes the mudari verb majzum besides lam and lamma and la and nahiya and lam al-amra, lam al-amra. Besides these, there's also a mudari verb becoming majzum because of it being preceded by a command or a prohibition of talab. Okay, that's point number three. Let's turn the page 54, the last page of the English, of the points of explanation of the English key. It says point number four on page 54. Wa ra'sa. Yani ending with ha with sukoon. Wa ra'sa. This is used to express pain. And it is called an-nudbatu. An-nudbatu. From, yani, is originally derived from, for example, a word ra'si. Yani, I'm expressing pain in my head. Ra'si, my head. The pronoun ya, ya al-mutakallam, from ra'si, is omitted. And in its place, the ending, ah, yani fatta alif ha with sukoon, is added. Yani the pronoun that indicates my head, ra'si, the pronoun ya al-mutakallam is removed, and in its place, the word, yani at the end of it, we add to the end of it, ah. So ra'si becomes ra'sa. And into the beginning of it, wa, wa, ra'sa. If one wants to express pain in his hand, yani he says, wa, yada, wa, yada. Originally, yada is yadi, pain in my hand. But the pronoun, my, yani ya al-mutakallam, is removed, and in its place, we put, yani the ending, fatta, alif, ha, with sukoon, ah. So it became yada, with wa, yani wa, yada, means, oh, the pain I am experiencing in my hand. And nudba, yani this type of expression, wa ra'sa, wa yada, and nudba is also used to express sorrow. Not just pain, but it's also used to express sorrow, to mourn the loss of Bilal, for example, our sorrow, our sadness, over the loss of someone like Bilal, for example, we say, wa bilala. So we have the word Bilal, and then we have fatta alif ha with sukoon, bilala. Wa bilala means, yani, alas for Bilal, yani, sorrow, mourning, sadness over the loss of Bilal. Alright, so this is called an-nudba, and it's used to express pain or sorrow, sadness at the loss of someone. Point number five, we have learned, and this is a summary of what we learned so far concerning the particles of jazm. Point number five says, we have learned mudari majzum in book 2, lessons 15 and 21. Yani, and we have been introduced there, in those two lessons in book 2, to three of the four particles that cause jazm, the particles, the huruf that cause jazm to the mudari. and they are la nahiya, which we had in lesson 15, and then they are lam and lamma, which we had in lesson 21. And we have learnt the fourth particle in this lesson. Yani the particles of that cause jazm are four. Three of them we learned in book two, and one of them we learned in this lesson today. So we have learnt the fourth particle in this lesson, lam al-amra. These four particles, yani la and nahiya, lam and lamma, and in this lesson, lam al-amra. These four particles are called jawazimu al-mudari'i. جوازم المضاري يعني those things which make the مضاري verb مجزوم, those particles that make the مضاري verb مجزوم. Here are some آيات which contain these جوازم, these particles that make the مضاري verb مجزوم. يعني note also in point 3 الجزم بالطلب that there's not a particular particle that's used that the mudari verb becomes majzoom because of, but rather it's due to there being a command or a prohibition before that verb. So that's a little bit different. Then these are particles that actually come before the mudari verb that make it majzoom. So these are not the only things that make a mudari verb majzoom, but these are the four particles, the four huruf, lam and lamma and la nahiya, and lam al-amr. These are four particles which make the mudari verb majzoom. And here are four examples. One example for each of them. For lam, we have number one. Alam naj'al lahu aynayn wa lisanan wa shafatayn. Have we not made for him a pair of eyes and a tongue and a pair of lips? This is in the Quran, 90th surah, ayat 8 and 9. The shahid here is what? Alam naj'al, have we not made lahu aynayn, for him two eyes. Alam naj'al, here the verb naj'al, mudari verb, yani is negated by lam, and it also makes it, changes its meaning to past tense. Have we not, did we not do this? Past tense, and it also makes its i'rab change from being marfu'un to majzoom with sukoon. The second example is for lamma, which has the same meaning of lam, of negation of the mudari verb, except that it also has the meaning of yet. Walamma yadkhulu al-imanu fi qulubikum, and faith has not yet entered into your hearts. This is in the Quran, 49th surah, 14th ayat. And the shahid here is what? Walamma yadkhul. Walamma yadkhul, yani al-iman. Iman did not yet enter. And again here, yani the verb yadkhul became majzoom because of lamma, changes its meaning to past tense. It didn't happen. And it also has the added meaning of didn't happen yet. It makes it majzoom, changes it from being marfoom to majzoom. And the sign of being majzoom is sukoon, but because it's followed by hamzatul wasl, in order to avoid or eliminate iltiqa' sakinain, a kasra is placed on the lam that originally has sukoon because of it being majzoom by lamma. The third example is for la nahiya, the la of prohibition. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la tahzan inna Allaha ma'ana. Do not grieve. Surely Allah is with us. This is in the Quran, 9th surah, 40th ayat. La tahzan, the mudari verb, and he became majzoom because of the la of prohibition. Sign that is majzoom is sukoon. And the fourth example is for lam al-amr that we studied in this lesson. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَى طَعَامِهِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَى طَعَامِهِ. Let man look at his food. This is in the Quran, 80th surah, 24th ayat. And the shahid here is fal yanzur. Yani the lam al-amr here makes the mudari verb majzoom and changes its meaning and indicates yani a command. Indicates a command. Man must look at his food. Take a look at the food. Yani reflect on the food. Fal yanzur. And here we see that lam al-amr, number one, originally has kasra, but because it's following the particle fa, and likewise if it was following waw or thumma, instead of taking kasra, it takes sukoon. And the second thing is that the verb itself, yanzur, originally has sukoon, the sign that it's majzoom, but because it's followed by hamza til wasl, in order to avoid or to eliminate iltiqa sakinain, the mudari verb here is taking a kasra just for pronunciation purposes. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ. Now, again, so point number five is just to remind us that there are four particles that may precede the mudari verb, making it majzoom. Lam and lamma, la nahiya, and in this lesson we learn lam al-amra. The lam that is yani, giving us the meaning of a command. We should also note here that we had lam al-amr before, but here yani, I'm sorry, not lam al-amr, but here the lam al-amr here is yani, is when we are not speaking directly to somebody. That's what I wanted to note, that when we are not speaking directly to somebody, if we were speaking directly to somebody, we use the fi'l amr, yani ijlis or uktub or iqra. But when we are speaking about a third person, huwa, فَلْيَنْظُرْ هُوَ يَنْظُرْ الْإِنسَانِ يعني man, الْإِنسَانِ, let man look at his food. So لام الأمر is used يعني, instead of the فعل أمر used with the second person, لام الأمر is used with the third person and as well with the first person. The last point of this lesson is point number 6 at the bottom of the page. آهي وآهن. Any ahi with a single kasra or ahin with a kasratain, two kasras. Ahi and ahin is a verb noun. Yani fi'l, ism fi'l, a verb noun. Yani a noun that has the effect of a verb or the meaning of a verb. A verb noun. And the footnote says here, for the verb noun, see lessons 1 and 2, what we talked about. Yani examples of verbal nouns. So ahi and ahin is a verb noun meaning I feel pain. Yani attawajja'u or attaallamu. Yani I feel pain. It's fa'il. Yani for this verb, yani this noun that has the meaning of a verb, has the meaning of attawajja'u. Yani ahin means attawajja'u. I am experiencing pain. Its fa'il, doer of the action, is the hidden pronoun representing ana. Yani its fa'il is the damir mustatir. It must be a hidden pronoun here. It's not going to be, you're not going to see the pronoun. It must be mustatir. Wujuban. It is understood to be representing ana. Yani ana atawajja'u. So what we will say about this, because this is the end of it, we just want to like look at it a little bit before we turn to the Arabic text dialogue at the beginning of the lesson. Yani again, ahi with a single kasra and ahin with a double kasra is a verb noun meaning I feel pain. The difference between these two, ahi is specific, the pain is specific in a particular part of the body, where ahin, the pain is not specific, it's general, meaning there's pain all over the body. Okay, so if a person says ahi, that means they're feeling pain in their hand or their foot or in their head. But if they say ahin, then that means they're feeling pain in their whole body, all over the place, general pain. Okay, in Arabic we say that this is a ismu fi'lin, it's a verb noun. In this case, its meaning is attawajja'u, I feel pain, so it's a mudari verb. Fi'l, yani ismu fi'lin mudari. Its meaning is attawajja'u. And it is mabniun ala kasra. Ahi or ahin. It will not take dhamma or fatha. It's mabniun ala kasra. Its fa'il, the doer of the action, the one who is representing the doer of the action, the subject, in this expression, ahi or ahin, it is damir mustatir. It's a hidden pronoun, must be hidden, wujuban, and it is understood to be the first person singular, ana. Again, ahi, yani without tanween, means that the pain is specific to a particular place. Ahin with tanween means that the pain is general, everywhere, not limited to any specific place. Okay. That's the end of the English key. And now we want to go to the Arabic text, the dialogue at the beginning of the lesson. Now, we're going to read the dialogue at the beginning of the lesson and then do kind of the exercises that we had for homework, 1 through 4. Okay, so we're on page 104. Dialogue is on page 104 and 105. Begins at the top of the page, الدرسو الثالث عشرة. الدرسو الثالث عشرة. يعني the 13th lesson. نعم. الحسن says يا أستاذ يا أستاذ لم أفهم درس الأمس جيدا لم أفهم درس الأمس جيدا. Oh teacher, I did not understand the lesson of yesterday's lesson very well. I didn't understand it good well. Here we want to note لم أفهم. يعني the فعل المضاري أفهم is مجزوم because of لم, sign that it's مجزوم, علامة جزمه سكون. الدرس is يعني مفعول به منصوب وعلامة نصبه فتحة. الأمس is مفعول فيه ظرف الزمان مبني على كسرة. The teacher responds saying اقرأه اقرأه مرة أخرى تفهمه إن شاء الله. خذوا دفاتركم. After a pause, the teacher says, take your notebooks. يعني, what's important here is اقرأه مرة أخرى. Read it again. يعني, read the lesson, yesterday's lesson again. تفهمه, and then you will understand it, إن شاء الله. So here we have تفهمه, يعني the فعل المضاري, which is مجزوم, sign that it's مجزوم is سكون. And what makes it مجزوم is that it's the it is here جواب للطلب. It is the response to a طلب, يعني to an أمر or a نهي. In this case, it's an أمر إقرأ. يعني the فعل أمر إقرأ, because the فعل أمر is preceding this مضاري verb, it makes the مضاري verb مجزوم. And it became مجزوم because of a طلب, because of an أمر or a نهي. Alright? After the teacher says, read it again, and then you will understand it, inshallah, he says, خذوا دفاتركم, take your notebooks. In parenthesis, يأخذوا الطلاب دفاترهم, the students are taking their notebooks. Muhammad says, at that time, لم أجد دفتري يا أستاذ, I didn't find my دفتر. يعني, لم أجد, يعني فعل مضاري مجزوم, علامة جزمه السكون. Became مجزوم because of لم, I did not find. يعني the meaning of لم أجد ما وجدت. ما وجدت. يعني it changes the مضاري verb and meaning to past tense. The teacher says ابحث جيدا تجده إن شاء الله. يعني search well. Make a good search and you will find it إن شاء الله. Again, تجده is مجزوم as the جواب of the طلب. The response to the طلب is going to be مجزوم. الجزم بالطلب. And it became مجزوم because of a طلب. So the مضاري verb that follows as a response to a أمر or a نهي became مجزوم. The أمر here is ابحث. ابحث جيدا تجده إن شاء الله. هو ذو غلاف أصفر أليس كذلك. The teacher goes on to say it is having a yellow cover. هو ذو غلاف أصفر أليس كذلك. Is that not so? This is a negative question, so the answer is going to be نعم وبلاء. Here I just want to note ذو غلاف. The word ذو is from أسماء الخمسة. It's always followed by a word that's مضاف إليه مجرور, sign that it's مجرور. غلاف is كسرة. أصفر is a knot describing أصفر. Because it's ممنوع من الصرف, the sign of it being مجرور is فتح instead of كسرة أصفرة. أليس كذلك؟ يعني it is having a yellow cover. Is that not so? Muhammad says, بلا. بلا هو ها هو ذا. Yes. يعني it is containing a yellow cover. ها هو ذا. يعني ها ذا هو. Here it is. This is it right here. ها ذا هو. ها هو ذا means ها ذا هو. This is it. Ali says, بالباب رجل يريد أن يدخل. At the door is a man who wants to enter. أن يدخل منصوب. يعني the مضارع verb يدخل is منصوب وعلامة نصبه فتحة because of أن. بالباب رجل. Here we want to note that the sentence, the جملة اسمية بالباب رجل, يعني بالباب is the جاء والمجرور شبه جملة, يعني خبر مقدم, and رجل is the مبتدا مؤخر. It's delayed because its خبر is the جاء والمجرور شبه جملة, and because it is indefinite. So the order of مبتدا and خبر is reversed here, just as a reminder. The teacher says ليدخل. يعني this لي لام with كسر is لام الأمر. It makes the مضارع verb مجزوم. لي يدخل يعني هو. Let him enter, the man that's at the door. The رجل says أنا ممرض في المستشفى في مستشفى الجامعة. I am a nurse in the hospital of the university hospital. ممرض في مستشفى الجامعة. أريد أن أأخذ الطلاب الجدد للتطعيم. I want to take the new students for the vaccination, to give them a vaccination at the مستشفى الجامعة, at the university hospital. The teacher says خذهم ليذهب الطلاب الجدد إلى المستشفى وليرجعوا بعد التطعيم. Teacher says take them. And then he says to the new students, ليذهب الطلاب الجدد. Let the new students go. يعني this is a command to the third person. So we use لام الأمر here. It makes the مضارع verb مجزوم. Sign that it's مجزوم is سكون. ليذهب. Who must go? الطلاب الجدد. To the مستشفى. وليرجعوا. And they must return بعد التطعيم. After the vaccination. وَلْيَرْجِعُوا. Here we see لام الأمر taking سكون instead of كسر, and that's because it's following the particle واو. واو العطف. So because of واو العطف, the لام الأمر, and likewise فا and ثم, it changes from كسر to سكون. But it still makes the مضارع verb مجزوم. The sign of it being مجزوم here is حذف and نون, the omission of the نون, because the original form of this verb is يَرْجِعُونَ. يَرْجِعُونَ. Well, يرجعوا بعد التطعيم. At this point, يعني this is a note here. At this point, يخرج الطلاب الجدد وهم ثلاثة. At this point, the new students go out. وهم ثلاثة. And they are three new students. The teacher says as they are going out, اسمعوا يا إخوانو. Listen up, O brothers. سيزور المعهد غدا وفد من إحدى جامعات نيجيريا. سيزور, يعني he will visit. Who will visit? المعهد, the institute. غدا وفد, a وفد, a delegation will visit the Arabic institute, المعهد. من إحدى جامعات نيجيريا, from one of the universities of Nigeria. A delegation is coming to visit the institute. فلا يغب أحد ولا يتأخر. So no one must be absent and no one must come late. فلا يغب. يعني here this is لا ناهية. Prohibition لا. It makes the مضارع verb. غاب يغيب. Makes it مجزوم. يغيب becomes يغيب. يعني it makes the مضارع verb مجزوم with سكون. And because originally يغيب يعني has يا. In يغيب, when the last letter of the verb takes سكون, and it already has سكون before it on the ya, so the ya is omitted. يغيب. You need to eliminate التقاء ساكنين. فلا يغيب أحد. He must not be absent. Who? أحد. No one must be absent. ولا يتأخر, and no one must be late. Again, يعني يغيب is مجزوم because of لا ناهية, and يتأخر is also مجزوم because of لا ناهية. وليلبس كل طالب ثوبا جميلا. وليلبس كل طالب ثوبا جميلا. And every student must wear a beautiful garment. In some of the books it has لبس بلده, يعني the clothing of his country, يعني his customary clothing from his country. What is important here is وليلبس, يعني وليلبس. Originally the verb is يلبسو, because of لام الأمر it became يلبس, يعني مجزوم. Sign of this مجزوم is سكون. And also we should note here that because of the واو العطف, the لام الأمر changed from a كسرة to سكون. وليلبس كل طالب. يلبس يعني هو. Who do we mean by يلبس هو؟ يعني كل طالب ثوبا جميلا. And after a pause he says لنقرأ الدرس الآن. Let us read the lesson now. لنقرأ, يعني here نقرأ became مجزوم because of لام الأمر, and because it's followed by حمزة الوصل, يعني to avoid التقاء ساكنين, we add كسرة to the verb نقرأ. يعني originally it has سكون because it's مجزوم by لام الأمر. لنقرأ الدرس الآن. تعال يا عدنان. Come here O Adnan. واكتب هذه الآية على السبورة, and write this ayah from the Quran on the board. Turn to page 105. Adnan says ليكتب علي فإن خطه أجمل من خطي. Let Ali write, for indeed his handwriting is more beautiful than خطي, my handwriting. Here we have لام الأمر. لي يكتب, making the مضارع verb يكتب مجزوم. Sign that is مجزوم is سكون. ليكتب علي, يعني يكتب is the third person masculine singular. هو, يعني who do we mean by هو, يعني علي. ليكتب علي فإن خطه أجمل من خطي. The teacher says اكتب يا علي. Write then O علي, write. And the note, بعد فراغه من الكتابة, after he finished, after him being finished from the writing, يعني writing the ayat on the board, the teacher says من يقرأها, who will read it, يعني the ayat that he just wrote on the board, that Ali just wrote on the board. The teacher says اكتب يا علي. And after he finished writing, the teacher said, من يقرأها, who will read it. الحسن says, ليقرأها محمد فإنه قارئ ذو صوت جميل. Let Muhammad read it, for indeed he is a reader who possesses a beautiful voice. ليقرأها. Here again, the verb يقرأ became مجزوم because of لام الأمر. Sign that it's مجزوم is يعني سكون. The meaning ليقرأ, let him read it. Who? Muhammad. Let Muhammad read it, يعني the ayat, because he is a reader who has a beautiful voice. Muhammad says بعد, يعني Muhammad, after بعد الاستعاذة والبسملة, after الاستعاذة and after the بسملة, Muhammad says فلينظر الإنسان إلى طعامه, to the end of the ayat. فلينظر الإنسان إلى طعامه. Then let the human being, let him look at his food. Let him look at his food. Here the note is what? فلينظر. يعني that the verb ينظر became مجزوم because of لام الأمر. The sign that is مجزوم is سكون, but because it's followed by حمزة الوصل, to avoid التقاء ساكنين, we're going to put a كسرة, فلينظري. Although originally it's فلينظر الإنسان, فلينظر الإنسان إلى طعامه. Also we want to note here that the لام الأمر that makes ينظر مجزوم has سكون instead of كسرة, because it's preceded by the particle فا. In the same way, if it was preceded by the particle wow or ثم. فلينظر, not فلينظر, فلينظر. Also note here that istiaza means seeking refuge in Allah, saying أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. البسملة means saying بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, as opposed to التسمية, which means just to say بسم الله. Here البسملة means to say بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So the reason why I'm noting that, because sometimes people before they eat they say بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, and what is legislated in the sunnah before eating is to say يعني the تسمية, just to say بسم الله without الرحمن الرحيم. Right, after this Anwar says, يا أستاذ أريد أن أخرج, O teacher, I want to go out. The teacher says, لا يخرج أحد في أثناء الدرس, في أثناء الدرس لا يخرج, he must not go out. Who? أحد, no one must go out في, during أثناء الدرس. يعني في أثناء means during the lesson. الزبير says, ورأسا ورأسا, oh my head, I am in pain, my head, I am in pain. ورأسا, expressing pain. This is called, as we mentioned previously in the English key, الندبة, and it's used to express pain, and it's also used to express sorrow. So رأسي, my head, the ya is deleted from it, and the ending that's added to it is fatha alif ha with sukoon, ra'sa, and before all of it we have wa ra'sa, meaning woe, yani oh, I'm in pain. Al mudarris says, ma bika ya Zubairu, what is with you? Yani what has afflicted you? What is happening with you, O Zubair? Zubair says, bi suda'un shadidun, ah, yani I have been afflicted with Suda'an shadidun, a very severe headache. Ahi, ahi. Yani, I'm in pain. I'm in pain. Atawajja, I'm in pain. Ata'allam, I'm feeling pain. And again, we said that ahi, yani, with kasra, with a single kasra, means a specific pain. Where if it was ahin, yani, with tanween, it means general pain all over. But here he has a specific pain, is specific to his head. Suda'an shadidun. And again, ahin is a ism fi'l, a noun that has the meaning and yani function of a verb. It's a ism fi'l mudari because the meaning of it is I am experiencing pain. Its fa'il is the mere mustatir, it must not be mentioned. Yani you don't say ana ahi, but it is sufficient to say ahin, its meaning is that the fa'il is the mere mustatir, taqdiruhu ana, understood to be ana. Ism fi'l mudari, it's mabniun ala kasra, it's fixed on kasra, either a single kasra or a double kasra. Single kasra means specific pain, double kasra means general pain all over. Yani I am afflicted with a severe headache, I am in pain, I am in pain. The teacher says, اذهب إلى المستشفى, go to the hospital. وليذهب معك أحد زملائك في السكن, and let one of your classmates who reside with you في السكن, in the same housing place, go with you. وليذهب معك أحد, أحد زملائك. So here the meaning is, let him go. يعني وليذهب, let him go. يعني هو, who, يعني أحد زملائك, one of your companions. Let him go, معك, with you, يعني one of your companions in the second who resides with you. As Zubair says, فليذهب معي عدنان, then let him go with me, that is عدنان. فليذهب هو, who do we mean هو, يعني عدنان. فليذهب معي عدنان. Okay, this is the end of the, oh, and here we just want to note again, yani that the lam al-amr is making the mudari verb here. فَلْيَذْهَبْ, it's making the mudari verb majzoom with sukoon, and the lam al-amr in this case, because it's preceded by fa, it takes sukoon instead of kasra. And in the previous sentence as well, وَلْيَذْهَبْ مَعَكَ, yani the lam al-amr is taking sukun instead of kasra because it's preceded by waw. So when the lam al amr is preceded by waw, and when it's preceded by fa, and when it's preceded by thumma, then it changes from kasra to sukun. Okay, after this, we're going to look at the exercises on page 106. And if Allah allows, we're going to try to do the four exercises that we have for homework. Or as much of them as we can. The first exercise, Ajib an al-asilati al-atiyati, answer the following questions. These are comprehension questions. لماذا جاء الممرض إلى الفصل? Why did the nurse come to the classroom? يعني جاء الممرض إلى الفصل ليأخذ الطلاب الجدد إلى مستشفى إلى المستشفى للتطعيم. يعني the nurse came to the classroom to take the new students to the hospital for the vaccination. Number two, من أين يأتي الوفد إلى المعهد? يعني from where are coming the delegation? Where is the delegation coming from? That's coming to the institute. يعني يأتي الوفد إلى المعهد من إحدى جامعات نيجيريا. يعني this delegation is coming from one of the universities of Nigeria. Number three, من الذي كتب الآية على السبورة? Who is it that wrote the ayah of Quran on the board? يعني علي. يعني الذي كتب الآية على السبورة علي. ومن الذي قرأها? And who is it that read it? يعني الذي قرأها محمد. Okay, after this comprehension questions, we're going to go right to the Arabic explanation of Lam al-Amr and whatever exercises we can complete related to it. There are four exercises related to it. Let's see if we can do what we can do from them. Okay, we're on page 106, upper half of the page. ليدخل, يعني this expression, ليدخل, let him enter. هذه لام الأمر. This is the Lam of command. تدخل على الفعل المضارع وتجزمه وتفيد الأمر. The lam al-amr, it is used with the fi'l mudari. That's the first thing. It's used with the fi'l mudari. وتجزمه, and it makes it majzum. That's the second thing. وتفيد الأمر, and it indicates a command. It's used with the fi'l mudari, makes the fi'l mudari majzum, and it indicates a command, a demand, a request. The fourth thing, تدخل على فعل الغائب والمتكلم. It is used with the فعل غائب, the third person, والمتكلم, and the first person. نحو ليجلس كل طالب في مكانه. يعني let every student sit in his place. This is third person. يعني يجلس هو كل طالب في مكانه. And the second example, لنجلس معا, let us sit together. This is an example of نجلس يعني نحن, being used with the first person, in this case plural. The fifth point is لام أمر مكسورة, that it is taking كسرة وتسكن بعد الواو والفاء والثم, but it is taking سكون if it's following يعني واو وفاء وثم. So 5 points related to Lam al-Amr. Number one, تدخل على فعل المضاري. It's used with the فعل المضاري. تجزمه. It makes it مجزوم. يعني تفيد الأمر. It indicates command. تدخل على فعل الغائب المتكلم. It's used for the third person and first person. ولام الأمر مكسور. It's originally taking كسرة, but it takes سكون after واو, فا, and ثم. So this is a quick review of the five affairs related to Lam al-Amr. It's used with the mudari verb, makes it majzum, indicates command, used with the third person and first person, not with the second person, and it also originally takes kasra, but it takes sukun after waw, fa, and thumma. Okay. استخرج ما في الدرس من أمثلة Lam al-Amr. The first question is, extract from the lesson examples of Lam al-Amr. So the first lesson, and I didn't number my text here, but I guess it's line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The ninth line And that's counting every line, even if there's only one word on it. On the ninth line, we have liyadkhul, let him enter. On the 10th, 11th, 12th line, on the 12th line, we have liyadhhab at-tullab wal-judud, let the new students go, and wal-yarji'u, and let them return. 13, 14, 15, 16. On line 16, we have وَلْيَلْبَسْ كُلُّ طَالِبٍ ثَوْبًا جَدِيدًا, let every student wear beautiful garment. لِنَقْرَأَ الدَّرْسِ, and let us read the lesson. And then line 17, on the next page, this is line 18. On line 18, we have لِيَكْتُبْ عَلِيٌّ, let Ali write. And then on line 22 lines later, لِيَقْرَأْهَا مُحَمَّدٌ, let Muhammad read it. And in the next line, 21, we have فَلْيَنْظُرْ, يعني الْإِنسَانُ, let the human being look. And then, يعني near the bottom, third line from the bottom, we have وَلْيَذْهَبْ مَعَكَ أَحَدُ زُمَلَائِكَ, and in the last line we have فَلْيَذْهَبْ مَعِي أَدْنَانُ. So these are examples of lam al-amr. Some of them, most of them with kasra, some of them with sukoon because of being preceded by waw or fa or thumma. Okay, that's exercise number one. Exercise number two says عَيِّن لام الأمر فيما يأتي وضبطها أو وضبطها بالشكل, يعني identify لام الأمر and what follows, and then make precise its shekel, يعني the voweling at the end. This is exercise number two. They gave us six. Let me see. Six. Yes, seven sentences, and they want us to identify lam al-amr in each one of them. In the first sentence, exercise number 2 on page 106, first sentence, لِيَذْهَبْ التُلَّابُ وَالْجُدُدُ إِلَى الْمُدِيرِ وَلْيَرْجِعُ بَعْدَ مُقَابَلَتِهِ لِيَذْهَبْ. This is the first example of lam al-amr. Let the new students go to the principal. وَلْيَرْجِعُ is another example. And let them all return after meeting him. وَلْيَرْجِعُ. Here we have lam al-amra with sukoon because it's preceded by waw. In the second sentence, لِيَكْتُبْ التُلَّابُ, or we can change it to kasra because of iltiqa'i sakinain, لِيَكْتُبِ التُلَّابُ الْأَجْوِبَةَ بِالْحِبْرِ الْأَزْرَقِ أَوَ الْأَسْوَدِ, let the students write. لِيَكْتُبْ, let the students write the answers in blue ink or black ink. يعني الحبر الأزرق, blue ink or أسود, black ink. Number three, لنذهب إلى المكتبة ولنقرأ ولنقرأ الصحف والمجلات. Let us go, لنذهب, let us go to the library, and let us read, وَلْنَقْرَ, the newspapers and the magazines. Number four, لِيَقْرَ كُلُّ طَالِبٍ هَذَا الدَّرْسَ وَلْيَكْتُبْهُ, let every student read this lesson, and let every student write it. So we have two examples here, لِيَقْرَ and وَلْيَكْتُبْهُ. And number five, ليساعد التلاب, because of التقاء الساكنين, we can say ليساعد, يعني became ليساعدي, ليساعد التلاب القدامى التلاب الجدودة, let the التلاب القدامى, the older students, help, يساعد التلاب الجدودة, help the new students. The example here is لي يساعد لام الأمر. Sentence number six, ليبقى كل واحد في مكانه, let everyone remain in his place. The example, ليبقى, يعني لام الأمر The original verb is يبقى with alif maksura. The sign that is majzoom is the hadf harf al-illa, yani harf of the akhir, yani the end of the verb. Number seven, the seventh sentence on the next page, 107. لنجلس الآن في الحديقة ثم نذهب إلى المسجد. Let us sit right now in the park and then let us go to the masjid. Two examples here. لنجلس, and because it's followed by ألف لام يعني همزة الوصل, we say لنجلس الآن. لنجلس is the first example of لام الأمر. ثم نذهب is the second example. The lam al-amr here has sukun instead of kasr because it's following thumma. Okay, that's the end of exercise number two. Exercise number three is adkhil lam al-amr ala al-af'al al-atiya wa dhibtha bil-shakl. Yani use lam al-amr upon the following, enter lam al-amr or use lam al-amr with the following verbs. Al-af'al al-atiya, wadbitha, and make it exact or precise bishakl, yani with voweling. And in other words, we want to see what is the voweling of the verb, yani due to the change that takes place from lam al-amr. Alright, so we're going to go down the column from the right side. يدخلوا became ليدخل with سكون. يأكلوا became ليأكل. Let us eat. Let him eat. Let him enter. Let him eat. لننام became لننم. ننم without the ألف and the last letter taking سكون. لننم. Let us sleep. يذهبون became ليذهبوا. Yani the sign that is majzoom is hadhaf al-noon. Fana'kulu, then we are eating. Yani becomes fa or fal-na'kul. Fal-na'kul. Yani the fa is going to be followed by lam al-amr with sukoon, and the verb became majzoom with sukoon. Fal-na'kul. Yani then let us eat. Ayansa with alif maksura became liyansa, yani with the alif maksura being omitted, short vowel seen fatta. Liyansa, yani let him forget. The last one, nad'u, we are supplicating. Li nad'u, yani without the waw, hadf al waw, became li nad'u, ayn with dhamma. The next column, yaqra'u وَيَكْتُبُ became لِيَقْرَ with سكون on the Hamza. لِيَقْرَ, let him read. وَلْيَكْتُبُ, and let him write. لِيَقْرَ with سكون وَلْيَكْتُبُ, لام الأمر with سكون and the ba of يكتب with سكون. يَرْكَعُ وَيَسْجُدُ لِيَرْكَعْ وَلْيَسْجُدْ. لِيَرْكَ, let him bow in ruku. وَلْيَسْجُدْ, and let him prostrate. لَام الْأَمْرُ with سُكُون because it's preceded by wow. نَجْلِسُ هُنَا وَنَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ. We are sitting here and we are reading the Quran. لِنَجْلِسْ, let us sit. يعني نَجْلِسْ with سُكُون مَجْزُوم. هُنَا لِنَجْلِسْ هُنَا وَلْنَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ. وَلْ يعني و لام الأمر with سكون نقرأ القرآن. And again, يعني نقرأ is with سكون, but because it's followed by ألف لام حمزة الوصل, we take it, change it to كسرة. ولنقرأ القرآن. يمشي لي نمشي, يعني let us walk. Again, the ياء at the end is omitted as the sign of it being مجزوم. ليمشي with a short vowel كسرة. يقول became لي يقول, يعني the لام الأمر makes the مضاري verb مجزوم with سكون. It's preceded by واو with سكون to eliminate التقاء ساكنين. The واو is omitted, so it became لي يقول without واو and the lam with سكون. يبيع with lam with lam الأمر became لي يبيع يعني the lam الأمر makes the يبيع makes the مضارع verb مجزوم. Sign of being مجزوم is changing the dhamma to سكون, which is preceded by ya with sukoon. To eliminate التقاء الساكنين, the ya is omitted, so it becomes a short vowel. Li yabi, yani without the ya and without the dhamma on the ayn. Yashtari became li yashtari, yani the ya is omitted, so it's a short vowel. Li yashtari, let us purchase something. Okay, this is the end of exercise number 3. These are just examples of the mudari verb becoming majzoom because of lam al-amr, and in some cases the lam al-amr is preceded by fa or preceded by waw, in which case the lam al-amr, instead of taking kasra, takes sukoon. And also the lam al-amr makes the mudari verb majzoom in the first group of mudari forms that end with dhamma. It becomes sukoon if that sukoon is followed by hamzatul wasl, yani in order to eliminate or alleviate or avoid iltiqa sakinain, a kasra is added to the mudari verb that has sukoon. We put the kasra there for pronunciation. Okay, the last exercise is hati khamsa amthilatin lilam al-amra fi jumalin mufidatin. Give 5 examples for lam al-amra in jumalin mufidatin, yani in beneficial sentences, meaning sentences that are complete sentences. Yani that should be a complete sentence. Yani if it was, for example, a jumla ismiya, it has to have a mubtada and a khabar. If it was a jumla fi'liya, it has to have a fi'l and a fa'il, and in some cases a maf'ul bi if it is muta'addin. Yani if that verb affects other than the fa'il doer of the action. Okay, so we're going to give 5 sentences here, and the remaining exercises, yani related to la and na here, being used with the third person, the other things that we studied in this lesson and the exercises related to them, we'll save them for the next session. And there's quite a few exercises remaining for La and Nahiyah, and also for the Jawazim, yani the particles that make the Mudari verb Majzoom, and also for the Jazm Bittalab. There are exercises for each of those matters, and inshallah we'll do those exercises as well as the exercise related to ahi or ahin, yani the ism fi'il mudari that has the meaning of I am in pain. All of that inshallah we'll do in the next session. So for homework during the week, we'll be doing those exercises. Today inshallah we're going to complete with the last exercise on page 107, which is exercise number 4 or 5 sentences with examples of lam al-amra in a complete sentence, beneficial sentence. So the first sentence, liyadkhulu or liyadkhuli, yani kasra because followed by hamzatul wasl, liyadkhuli at-tullabu al-maktaba. Let the students enter the library. Liyadkhuli at-tullabu al-maktabata. The second sentence, linadhhabu إلى الحديقة اليوم. لنذهب إلى الحديقة اليوم. Let us go to the park today. The third sentence, لنجلس الرجال في المسجد. لنجلس يعني في المسجد حتى يعني نصلي حتى نصلي. لنجلس في المسجد, let us sit in the masjid لنصلي, so that we can pray. Number 4, fourth sentence, ليكتب كل طالب اسمه في دفتره. Let every student write his name in his notebook. لي يكتب كل طالب اسمه في دفتره. And the last one, لنأكل. لنأكل الطعام يعني قبل أن ننام. لنأكل أو لنأكل, let us eat الطعام, the food, قبل أن ننام, before we go to sleep. Okay, this is the end of what we wanted to cover for today, and بإذن الله تعالى we will be continuing on page 107 with the Arabic explanation of لا ناهية being used with the غائب, with the third person, and exercises that follow it. Exercises 1 and 2 and 3 that we'll be dealing with لا ناهية, and then after that we're going to deal with the particles that make the mudari verb majzum, go over the 4 of those particles and any some examples of each of them. And then we're going to read the al-jazm bi-talab, yani the fi'l mudari becoming majzum because of a amr or a nahi, and the exercises related to that. And then we're going to also look at some examples of that, and examples of an-nudba. An-nudba and the ism fi'l, yani ahi or ahin. And then some general exercises that deal with plurals and singulars and mudari verbs and madi verbs and so on. Okay, so that will be for homework this week, بإذن الله تعالى. If I don't send out the homework assignment first thing in the morning, then at least you can begin with the exercises that remain, or the explanations that remain from page 107 and whatever follows that. Naam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing the things that we do sincerely for His sake alone, with ikhlas, and that we do it in accordance with the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of His mercy and His favor and His bounty and His generosity, that He recognize, reward, and record our good deeds, and that He multiply the rewards for them, and that He, yani, pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors and shortcomings, and that He keep us firm upon a sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition of being pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. Amen.